I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives radio show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I am Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. And we are the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show and the duo that just happened to create the Cogno Movement System. And we are so pleased today because we have the great honor of speaking with one of our Cogno Movement practitioners today, which we really love to do. And she's so much more than that. We have Ginny Jablonski with us. Her website is heartofthehorse.us. And she is an intuitive animal communicator, which is really something interesting. She does, she said people that call her the soul whisperer as well. And she's part of a collaborative, an anthology book that sounds so interesting. It's called Animal Prints on My Soul, which is published by AbsoluteLovePublishing.com. So welcome our friend Ginny.
Thank you, Liz and Bill. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, we it's fun for us to catch up with you. I haven't seen you in a little while. So we wanted to ask you, or if you would tell our audience, about how we all met each other. How did you happen to come into the Cogno Movement fold?
Well, I saw Bill on television on Gaia, and he was sharing, it was his first interview with the homemade little Cogno Movement ball. And when I saw his interview, I felt like I feel right now, full body chills. My bones are vibrating when I talk about this. And I just knew that he was going to have an answer for me that I had been looking for very seriously for a decade. And when I met him, that came true.
How fun, Ginny. Will you tell us the story? Is it something you can share with everybody?
Sure. Well, in my life in the 90s, I was involved in international security. I protected foreign diplomats on unofficial state visits here in this country. And it was very stressful. And I probably shouldn't have been in that job. And after several years of working 14 or 16 hours a day, 7 days a week for months at a time with a week off and then going back out for 3 or 4 months, my body just shut down. And that was in 1991 when I had to retire. And I will make a long story short and say for about 7 years, I went to many doctors trying to get myself back to work. I loved my job. I didn't know that it didn't have anything to do with my soul purpose at the time, but I loved my job and I wanted to go back to work. So for 7 years, I mostly refused narcotics and absolutely refused opioids. When I did take narcotics, it only made me sleepy. And then after 7 or 8 years, my doctor handed me a fentanyl lollipop and said, "This is your only hope." And I went home, showed it to my husband in tears, crying. He went on the internet and said, "Ginny, you realize if you use this medication, your heart, pardon me, your brain can forget to tell your lungs to breathe." And I was just on the floor in agony. There's no other hope. I will never go back to work. What does it matter at this point? And so I took the fentanyl. And as we all know now, I think it's all public knowledge that opioids are an anesthetic. They anesthetize the nervous system. So when the brain doesn't listen to the body keeps telling the brain you're in pain. So it creates new neural pathways to send that information. And it's real. Pain is real. Chronic pain is real. and you just need more and more. So 4 years later, I was at about 135 micrograms of fentanyl per hour, together with Dilaudid, and it had, my prescription had recently been up to 8 milligrams. And the night I got that prescription filled for the first time, I took those two new doses together and I had a near-death experience. And that led me on a journey. I knew I didn't want to be on the medication. There must be some other answer at that point. I had lost faith. And I hope it's okay to say, I lost faith in my allopathic doctors. And I knew that I had to live, because within my near-death experience, there was a strong sense that I needed to accomplish something. Now, in hindsight, you know, I'm about 90% sure the important thing I had to accomplish was just heal myself, wake up, understand that I'm an infinite being of light, and that, you know, there's much more to life than what we thought about what I was raised to believe life was. And that's what sent me on a spiritual journey. And it was a rather circuitous spiritual journey that took me all over. And I studied many healing modalities and many spiritual philosophies. And a lot of the work I did just didn't seem to be permanent. It didn't stick. It would work for a while. Some things would come back. And I did make progress, don't get me wrong. I was completely off medication within about a year and a half. And I did make progress. But when I met Bill, when I saw the show on Gaia, I knew, I was well aware that there was something inside me that was out of balance, and no healer I went to, and I spent my husband's life savings on my journey, they just couldn't seem to touch what it was. And nobody else seemed to really think that there was anything wrong with me. I seem pretty much like I seem now, you know, and good enough should have just been good enough for me, was everybody's opinion, when I knew that there was more. And I kept being compelled to search. And I'm so glad I did, because that's what led me to Cogna Movement.
That is an amazing story. And I just cannot get over how amazing our practitioners are, the incredible things that you guys have all done. And, you know, this is one, you know, this kind of high level security that you're a part of coming from that world. It's incredible. But I just want to ask, so are you talking about the physical pain, like from injury and PTSD? Were those both parts of your journey that you were trying to recover from?
Well, in hindsight now, my perspective is that almost all of my pain was psychosomatic. It was the body trying to remind me that I hadn't processed my emotions. And that's what we learn about in Cogna Movement, right?
Yeah.
But I did have some musculoskeletal condition, degenerative disc and joint disease. I had been diagnosed with Lyme disease. It was discovered at one point that I had Listeria, which causes, it's a bacterial infection, which I think everybody should know a little bit about. It causes migraines, and I had severe migraines. I've probably taken 2,000 sumatriptan injections in the last 10 years. But that wasn't the only reason for migraines. Trapped energy, stuck energy, not having the proper flow and alignment of energy in my body greatly contributed to the migraines, because they were significantly diminished before I found out about the Listeria. And I apologize, I've had a couple of strokes, and because of my near-death experience, I sometimes lose my train of thought. So I forgot the question.
That's okay. No, you answered it beautifully. I was just asking, because I know there's people in the audience, many, many, who listen to these shows. I mean, it's UK Health Radio Network. We're talking about health, that have struggled with exactly these same things. And when people come forward and share the magnitude of how these things affect their life, it's so helpful. So I think when people can understand what we're actually talking about, you know, all these things that add up to the state that you were in, that you reached out for help. And I also want to thank you so much for talking about, you know, the opioid issue. It's huge here in America. I know it is around the world. And it's an issue for people who are trying to get off of that and get their life back. So for people to know that it's possible, to see you as an example of the many things that you did to create that change, plus Cogno movement and other things, I think it's quite helpful. So that's just all I wanted to bring forward. So at the time that you met Bill, there was still a piece you needed, right? So take us forward from there.
Oh, the one thing I neglected to say when I forgot what the question was, is that I had experienced a lot of trauma in my young life, young adult life. And I think the last time my mom tried to throw me down the stairs, I was 32. Wow. So I had a significant amount of abuse and trauma. And I've met a fair number of people who have similar experiences as well. And so when I met Bill, there were a couple things. The core issue of anger was very front and center in the 4 days. I drove to San Diego from Arizona to meet Bill. I asked him if he would be willing to work with me several hours a day for 5 days in a row. And I tapped out after 4 days. But the anger from my childhood at the way I was treated, the circumstances, the things that were said to me when I was young, the family dynamic, and a lot of anger and rage and physical as well as sexual trauma is what Bill helped me to work with over those 4 days. And I can tell you, and I don't know if Bill remembers my personality before right when we first met, but I was completely different when I left after those 4 days with Bill in San Diego, completely different. And, you know, to say that there's a period of cognitive dissonance where you're not sure who you are anymore is not an overreach. It's very true. Cognitive movement can completely change who you are.
Which is a little scary and kind of amazing at the same time. Do you remember that session, Bill?
I do. I remember, coming and having the sessions. It was such an honor to be part of the transition. And it's really how I feel when I get to work with somebody like you, Jenny, and that have had such hard life. And then, in a matter of hours or days, we get to process the stuff and have the genesis of a new life. And it was such a joy to work with you through that. I do recall that it was exhausting for you. You know, when somebody has had the type of injuries that you had from the drugs and from the physical different things that had physically happened to you, when you've been through that much physical trauma in the brain, it can be incredibly neurologically taxing and make you tired. So anyway, you did it though. You did it, it was such a amazing transition to see somebody go from a state of such turmoil on every level to, blossomed and now out there helping other people. I mean, what? That doesn't even seem possible, right? I mean, you're out helping other people. Now you're all better and you're helping others. So anyway, we got to give UK Health Radio a second here just to tell us about the great things that they have. And we'll be right back after this from UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And we are back. Thank you, UK Health Radio. I just want to remind everybody that UK Health Radio is built for exactly this. Jenny, you may not know this, that when Johan built this, he heard on a radio show something about how to heal cancer naturally that he had no idea was possible. So people out there listening to these shows, hopefully our hope is that they'll find something too from your story that they'll think, okay, I could do this too. There's a possibility for me to get better. And I love what you were sharing about your early childhood history. I mean, all the way up to 32, traumas with parents and sexual assault and all of that, because they really do add up in a nervous system. Mm-hmm. So that when you're older in life and you do have an experience like you had with your job, all of those things play into it and it becomes bigger than each individual. The sum becomes great, so much greater. So while we were on our break, we were asking you to share maybe a little bit more about that, about the transition for yourself, and maybe some ways that you've helped other people.
Sure. Well, one of the things that was very obvious to me right away after my week with Bill, and please, it wasn't only 4 days with Bill that I've used CogniMovement and made such progress. You know, I've gone through the practitioner training. I've had other sessions with Bill. I've worked with other CogniMovement practitioners. I've done it on my own. I've watched the weekly CogniMovement YouTube videos.
You came to CognoConscious.
Yeah. For 2 years, I did CognoConscious, as well as the practitioner training, which is a tremendous, it's worth the value to take the training class just to receive the healing one receives for themselves in that training class. There's that much value to that, in my opinion. I'm one that is very aware of what's available out there in terms of healing. And I can say from my experience, this is the most significant, most effective healing modality I have ever experienced on my journey.
Wow. And we didn't even pay her to say that.
Well, it's true.
Tell us a little bit more about that, Jenny. Some ways that you feel like it did change your life. And I love what she said about 4 days doing CogniMovement. At the end of it, you're not exactly sure who you are because you are a different person. Your nervous system is running different. So share with us what that was like.
Well, immediately I could tell the difference in my sleep. So I think so many people can relate to those looping traumatic thoughts, right? The bothersome thoughts, the things you did or said that were embarrassing, the times you felt ashamed, the times you remember someone looking at you funny or saying something unkind or judging you. And I had nightmares my whole entire life to that effect. And then I also had memories that would wake me up and it would just loop in my mind over and over and over, looping the same scenario, the visual scenario, the things that were said, the things that I did that sort of make you viscerally cringe, you know, oh, you know, and your gut just wrenches. After working with Bill for 4 days, almost all of that was completely gone. And it was very surreal. I would wake up in the night expecting to have these thoughts. And I was laying there observing my thoughts, and there was empty space. And I thought, well, wait, I'm expecting the thoughts to be there. And it was as if I was reaching out, reaching into the air to grab something that wasn't there. And I can tell you that it felt as if I truly physically was reaching with my neurology. My neuropathways were trying to find those old connections to those unprocessed memories. It was incredibly surreal. And that is the first major thing I noticed. I also noticed that I was generally more happy. I smiled more without a seeming reason throughout the day. And I reacted differently to things that normally would have triggered me, upset me. I might have judged someone or myself in particular. I would have been hard on myself. And it was, I didn't have emotional amnesia. I didn't have amnesia. I very much remembered, if this were 6 months ago and I heard that or did that or said that or saw someone do that or say that, I would have reacted like this, and I didn't. Eventually, over time, it wasn't so obvious to me. In the past, I would have reacted a different way. It was sort of this fleeting, yeah, whatever, we're beyond that. So it takes a few months, right, for that process to evolve and unfold to where you no longer, I was still identifying with that. So it was so easy for me to say, I would have reacted differently a few months ago or before I found cognitive movement. So that was really phenomenal. And I think a lot of people can probably relate to that. Our unforgiveness of ourselves, our shaming and blaming ourselves, and our judging others as a distraction. You know, I don't know that many people that would say they've never felt that or had those experiences. I certainly did. And it really changes magically. And there are so many things that I think the primary or core wounds I was addressing also affected. So even though we were working, for example, on relationship with my mother, or something happened when I was a child, it improved other areas of my life. My relationship with my husband, it was never bad, but it was more light. It was more lighthearted. It was less serious. And I had been not really talking to, I think a lot of people go through this, but in my children were in their 20s and highly educated and didn't really resonate with my spiritual journey. And so we had a couple of years, my husband and I, where our children weren't really talking to us. And we are completely reconciled fully as a family with both of our children since cognitive movement. And I really attribute the work that I've done for myself with respect to whatever I blame myself for my children's childhood, or, you know, their behavior that maybe my husband and I didn't quite agree with. Cognitive movement works with that as well. So I'm not telling tales when I say every area of my life has improved since I found cognitive movement. And not only that, my intuitive abilities, my psychic abilities, I've freed up room in my heart to embody my own soul. And I could go on about that, but that's very esoteric and maybe not on the cognitive movement agenda, but every area of my life is better. And I'm so grateful to both of you for what you're doing.
Well, we appreciate that so much. And there, you know, CognoConscious is coming up in September, as we've been sharing with our audience. And that is something that happens. Everything opens, but a lot of people talk about their psychic ability or their consciousness, their awareness, their manifesting ability jumps up, you know, tenfold, because you don't have those other neurological patterns robbing your energy that naturally could go to those kind of things. So I actually appreciate you sharing that with everybody. I know lots of people are interested in having more intuition, manifesting better, you know, being able to be more connected with the universe and with, you know, even the plant life, even the animals, like your communication skills. Everybody would like a little bit more of that, I think. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that does become available. I know, Bill, you look like you're about to add something.
Well, I just, you know, the question, you know, pops into my brain. You know, we think we operate, you know, in a vacuum. It's all me and nobody else is affected by however I'm feeling. You know, these are my personal feelings and, you know, they don't really affect others. But we know. We know now from cognitive movement that's simply not the case. This cognitive movement relationship effect, where others, without a word being said, get affected when we clear our guilt, shame, resentment, fear, you know, you fill in the blank of the unpleasants. But my question, Ginny, is, you know, you had, I mean, the answer seems somewhat obvious, but, you know, maybe you could color it in a bit, is, you know, there was an estrangement and then it was resolved. And so is there, which is, by the way, just awesome. Any comments on any of that or how their lives were impacted? Everybody wants to have a good relationship with their parents, you know, and it's so fundamental to a good life. If the relationship with the parent is been corrupted and estranged, you know, emotionally or unresolved issues, those play out in our daily lives. And we had no idea of the relationship. That was one of my life lessons, is to repair that inside of me. And then my life repaired. But anyway, Ginny, because you've been through this too, and so your comments on that and how things went for your offspring and that sort of thing.
Well, maybe not so coincidentally, we found out now that both of our children for the last 2 years, and Bill, I met you 2 years and 4 months ago, had been going through their own healing journey and trying to heal their own wounds. And it was not something I ever would have guessed that either of my children would have really wanted to do. And when I did my work, I also do other type of, you know, intuitive work as well, not only cognitive movement, but I worked on a lot of, I went back to pre-birth memories in the womb and that type of trauma. And I also focused on trauma that might have transferred to my children in the womb from prior to their soul incarnating in the body the whole way through. And I used other methods as well as cognitive movement to do what some people would refer to as timeline therapy for my children, with respect to what I contributed to their trauma, if they took on anything that belonged to me, or if I tried to put anything on them or assign something to them that really was mine, I did that work. And I did that work more aggressively in the last 2.5 years. And I think it's no coincidence that they both started doing deep dives on their own at the same time. And they both reached out to us. One happened last year, mid-year. And then the second happened this year at the beginning of the year.
So it's time for us to take another little quick break with the UK Health Radio Network. So UK Health Radio, take it away.
UK Health Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. And Bill had been asking you about the effect of your journey on your kids. You know, with cognitive movement, this relationship effect is huge. And I think it's true of all this kind of work. When we change ourselves so deeply like you have, it can't help but affect those around us, even those we're not talking to. Mm-hmm. So like you said, not so coincidentally, they're changing at the same time. And I think that the work that you did in going back and looking at where, you know, even your genetics contributed or issues that you had before. And this really happens. We do this. We pass down genetically our issues from generation to generation, and it can be shifted. So I'm so grateful to you that you mentioned that it can happen, and it does happen. And it's amazing for everyone involved when it does. So that's fantastic. So if you're go ahead, Bill.
Oh, gosh. You know, Liz, you've got this great story. I'd love for you to just quickly tell people. You know, this goes, when we say this cognitive movement relationship effect, it can go in both directions. Liz, you had a woman whose, you know, mother was considered narcissistic, and then she was in her 40s. And estranged and, you know, really difficult situation. So maybe you could just tell the story of what happened, where.
Yeah, I think we've shared this story before, but I had a woman who came in and really her session was about her husband, not about her mother at all. But as cognitive movement sessions go, they go throughout your whole life and everything's connected. Our whole lives, every issue we've ever had, it's connected to the last one and the next one. So we worked through an issue with her husband, which cleared and was lovely. But when she left, she lived just, you know, maybe 10 minutes away from my office. And by the time she got home, she'd gotten a call from her mother, who lived all the way on the other side of the country. And they had been estranged. They had had a lifelong issue. The mom was narcissistic. She's a military. She'd been in the military her whole life and, you know, behaved as such. And when this client got home, immediately there was a phone call from her mother to say, hey, you know, I just realized that maybe I have affected your life. Some of my decisions affected your life negatively. And I want you to know I'm sorry. And my client said she stood there with her mouth open because she didn't know what to say. She never in her life had expected this phone call, but her clearing, whatever she cleared out of her own body, her own resistance, her own pattern, her own genetic history of this same kind of a problem opened up the ability for her mom to call and make this apology. So it affects people, even though they're thousands of miles away and we're not talking to them. I would actually like to shift gears just a tiny bit if we can. It's been so fun talking to Jenny about all of this, but there's this beautiful book that she's a part of and a beautiful part of Jenny's life that that I'd love for her to share. It's called Animal Prints on My Soul, and you contributed to that. Those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can see Jenny's beautiful background of wild horses. So would you share just a little bit about that with us, Jenny?
Sure. Well, the horses in the background are from north central Colorado near Grand Junction, at a wild herd called the Little Book Cliffs herd. And about October 2020, I was at a client in Colorado, and I had never heard of the Little Book Cliffs herd. And this was, there was a woman who rescued Mustangs, and their horses were talking to me, telling me that this woman's husband really needed to finish the book he was writing because they wanted him to create a new book series about on another subject. And they showed me the book series, and they opened the book literally in my vision. And on the inside back cover on the book was this sheer rock cliff, very colorful, sort of reds and golds and beige rocks, very striking. And I said, they're talking about little books and there's this rock cliff. What does that mean? And the woman goes, oh, and I said, what? And she goes, the horses are from the Little Book Cliffs. And then, so the horses told me, we're going to work with you again. We like you. We've got something in store for you. So about a year later, I was sleeping and I was woken up in the middle of the night and I heard Little Book Cliffs, Little Book Cliffs, Little Book Cliffs. And I'm like, yeah. And there was a horse and she said, I'm going to come and live with you. And I said, well, where are you in the world? You know, at least in the United States, I don't know where you are. She said, don't worry, or you'll find me. So, excuse me. The next morning, I called my client that I was with a year prior. And I said, well, a horse from the Little Book Cliffs came to me in my dreams and they need a home. And it's not roundup time. It's been 4 years since they've been rounded up. So they're all disseminated across the country. And she said, I think I might know who this is. Just, you know, I'll get back to you. She called me back and she said, one of your clients, this woman knows you, Ginny, has a horse that someone is training and the horse is dangerous and they're bolting under saddle and they would very much like this horse to come and live with you. And I said, well, send me pictures. I don't know. I don't know if it's the horse or not. So I went to bed that night and I said, well, it might be you. I don't know. What do you look like? And I heard black, 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 black beauty. And I woke up in the morning and there was a picture of a black Little Book Cliffs horse named Beauty in my email.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And is that the story?
I love that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I have a similar story if you have maybe 3-4 more minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Please.
So our beloved dog, my husband and I, we had a rescue dog for 8 years. She passed away 3 weeks ago, Monday.
Oh.
That night, unfortunately for my husband, I heard a voice say, I'm here. And I said, you're here. Who are you? And he said, I'm your new dog. And I'm like, oh no, my poor husband was heartbroken and not doing well over the loss of our dog. And I said, well, how do I find you? He said, don't worry, I'll find you. So the next day, which was a Tuesday, this lovely woman I had met 4 years ago in a near-death experiencer group texted me on Facebook and said, hey, we just bred our dog and we have some puppies and we're not allowed to sell puppies on Craigslist anymore. If you know anybody that's interested in the puppies, here's 7 pictures of 7 puppies. And I said, that one, that's my puppy. And she said, Ginny, I have never talked to an animal before, but I swear to you, this dog has been telling me he was going to live with you for the last 3 days. She said, starting Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, multiple times a day, she got a vision of a ranch. He kept saying, I'm going to live on a ranch. I'm going to live on a ranch. I'm going to live on a ranch. And giving her a vision of a fence. But she didn't know it, think she knew anybody that lived on a ranch and didn't know anybody that owned horses. And so she went on Facebook and started looking at her friends. And I just happened to, and I never do this. I posted on Facebook some cute little story with just my voice. And I thought, oh, I'll just the background will be my property. So I took this panoramic view back and forth of my property, which was the exact picture the dog had given the woman and said that's where he was going to live. So we are now the proud owner of a new puppy.
Oh my goodness, what a fun story. That's amazing. And you know, I love that you're sharing this, that this is actually a possibility. But I do have a quick question about it. Do you find that recently, like in maybe the last 10 or 15 years, that this ability to hear animals communicate that with them has become more available to people?
I do think so. I think as we shift our consciousness more into the fourth dimensional consciousness realm, our DNA and our psycho-spiritual apparatus comes more online. And so many people are healing. They're on a seeker's journey. And as we heal, and as we heal our hearts, and as we heal our solar plexus, and as we heal our sacral chakra, which are the chakras that manage the energy distribution in our body and the psycho-spiritual apparatus, that's the sacral chakra that turns it on and off. And that's based on frequency and level of healing. I think it's becoming more prevalent. And I also think a lot of people who were born in the 90s or just at the turn of the millennia were born with this gift. And a lot of people aren't losing it the way some of us did when we were kids.
Yeah, it just really seems like more and more people are talking about, you know, if I didn't know better, I think I'm hearing my dog or my horse or my cat telling me something. I know in our house, we are definitely bossed around by a little red dog. So, you know, we're getting close to the end of our interview, Jenny. And, you know, as we do on our show, we ask our guests to share something, a useful tip or meditation or some tool that they can take with them today. Is there something you'd like to share with our audience?
I would love to. And I think this is incredibly helpful. So after my near-death experience, I could see and sense energy. I could perceive multidimensionally. I can see chakras, meridians, you name it, nervous system. It depends on what frequency I tune into. But one of the things that was really confusing to me is it looked to me like everybody was walking around in this bubble of burnt molasses. And nobody ever talked about it. And even spiritual people, even yoga masters and, you know, really super spiritual people, people that did martial arts. So there's like three levels of Qigong or martial arts. There's people who are in it for health and wellness. There are people who are in it to master the mind and the physical body. And then there are people who are in it to seek immortality. Bill, you're an expert on this. I'm not. I'm just giving a snippet here of my knowledge. And those who were seeking immortality, they were the ones that really had something going on because their energy field on the outside surface was clean. And so I asked my soul, what is that? You know, my higher self. And I heard, well, that's everybody else's opinion of you. And I said, well, I do. Do I have that? Duh. Yeah, you have a lot of that. Well, what do I do about it? So this is a process that my higher self, my soul, shared with me to help cleanse the outside surface of our auric field. And this is life-changing because oftentimes we walk around and we just feel heavy and we're not exactly sure. We just feel a little bit off. And you see people sometimes their elbows are up in their ears or they're just a little bit hunched over and there's sort of a low-grade headache or a little bit achy back or, you know, they just feel put upon. We just feel put upon. So one way to test before we do it, how we feel is just breathe in through our nose, out through our mouth, earth energy up through the chakras in our feet, and just check in. How do we feel? How am I feeling? Do I have a pain in my elbow, my back, my neck, headachey? Just take a few notes. And now here's the spiritual car wash that my higher self shared with me. I ask to be placed in a bubble of grace. And grace, the light of grace, it's like coming home to grandma's house. It's an invitation to remember what it feels like to feel safe. Because so many of us don't remember what it feels like to feel safe. Right? And it's gentle. It's gentle. It's not aggressive. It's not forcing you to change or pushing you to heal or judging you. It's just enveloping you with pure potential. And everybody that I talk to feels really tingly when they do that. Second step, I ask for the light of grace to shine down on me 360 degrees all around the outside surface of my auric field, beginning to let my field know that it is safe to release everything that does not belong to me. And again, that makes people feel so incredible. Step number three, I call on the violet flame of transmutation to shine down on me 360 degrees all around the outside surface of my auric field, cleansing away everything that does not belong to me. Everybody's projections, opinions, shoulda, woulda, coulda, stuff we pick up at the grocery store, energetic attachments. We ask that the violet flame of transmutation cleanse away everything we no longer need. And that seems to really make people shift hugely. And it's really important. And Bill, you tell people this all the time. When we do this work, witness it, see it, feel it. It makes it more real. It solidifies it, anchors it in our field. And then the last thing I always do all the time is I shine the light of truth on myself. Because a lot of the things that are affecting us just aren't true. Liz, you're a genius with this conversation, right? They're just not true. It's a misunderstanding or it's somebody else's opinion. And somebody else has said, Jenny, why are you wearing that silly blue necklace? That's so last year's style, right? Well, if five or six people had said that about me, that really built up on my energy field potentially, right? So these energies, the bubble of grace, the light of grace, just softening up that crusty burnt molasses on the outside, letting it know it's okay, it's safe, you don't need this anymore. And then bringing in the big guns, the violet flame, and then shining the light of truth, because nothing that isn't true, that's ready to leave, can stand up to the light of truth.
So beautiful. Thank you so much, Jenny. I love
that. Thank you, Jenny. I loved it. Thank you.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, everybody, we are out of time. It's always so much fun to talk to our practitioners. You guys really are such a big part of Bill and I. You become a big part of our inner circle. And we're just so grateful to get to know you. Like I said before, our practitioners do the most amazing things. I want to make sure, Jenny, can people reach out to you? Can they work with you? Would you tell everybody where?
Sure. My website is www.heartofthehorse.us. And I work with people and animals, and I give people messages from their soul. What is the soul's priority that they want us to know today? What's that one thing we're not seeing, or that one thing we're not quite tapping into, or one thing that we've turned ourselves away from, that we're resisting? Where is the resistance? And the soul has never let me down yet. So I love this work. I just love it. And I also use cognitive movement, and it is often very appropriate.
Yeah, I love that. I love that our practitioners use cognitive movement as in addition to what they're already doing to just move things along even faster. All right, Bill McKenna, thanks for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you, Liz. And thank you, Jenny. Thank you so much for coming on. That was just what a joy.
What a fun conversation. Yeah. I want to remind the audience that here in the U.S., September is the CognoConscious Seminar. It is the hardest seminar that Bill and I put on in a year. It really takes a lot of energy to do, but it changes who you are at your nervous system level. It raises your consciousness, like is in the name. And it's really for people who are absolutely ready. So if this sounds like you, please reach out to us at cognomovement.com, info@cognomovement.com if you have questions about the event. And everybody, we will see you all again next week. Take care. Thanks again, Jenny. Bye, Bill.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.